Now, these meetings are announced. Let us read in Genesis chapter 18. Verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from my servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Verse 7, And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, look please at chapter 19. Verse 3, And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, chapter 20, verse 7, Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Now, chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Verse 8, And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which he had borne unto Abram, mocking, or, if you will, looking with disgust or playing. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, Cast out this born woman and her son, for the son of this born woman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now, chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. Now, that should really be God did prove Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Now, chapter 23, verse 8. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. Now, finally, chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his servant, or his eldest servant, or his servant, the elder of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now we do trust the Lord will bless and help us to understand the reading of the Word of God. Our task tonight is very great as we try to bring to a conclusion the ministry of these nights in which we have been looking at the life of Abraham as presented in these chapters of Genesis. We have endeavored to look at some of the details chapter by chapter, and although our progress has not been probably as much as it may have been, I feel the Lord has helped us to pick up a little on the way. If you have not each title to the chapter that we have covered, the chapters we have covered, I trust you will get them as I try to enumerate them by way of resume just now. Chapter 12, we noticed, was the chapter that gave us the path of faith. Abraham was called, and he responded, and we saw him moving in that path in response to the call of God. Chapter 13, we entitled The Patience of Faith, where Abram showed wondrous consideration, stood back and allowed his younger friend Lot to make a choice. But God had his eye upon his servant, and quickly God confirmed that all that he could see, that Abram could see, in any direction, would be his by divine purpose. And so Abram is called to wait, and doth wait, as God unfolds to him the richness, the impressiveness of his divine purpose. And then we came to chapter 14, where we found Abraham, or Abram as he still was, moving in restorative, delivering power, and bringing Lot, that wayward friend, out of very, very severe captivity. And we entitled chapter 14, The Power of Faith, where Abram showed again great longing, great love, and wondrous capacity in order to restore and recover Lot that had gone so far astray. But chapter 15 is very distinctly the privilege of faith, where God opens the council chambers of eternity and allows Abram to have a look down the vista of time and to see the great effect of his promise culminating in that which would be ratified by the death of his beloved son, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a great privilege, an outstanding moment in the life of Abram, as he saw the Lord's day. As the Lord Jesus said, Abram saw my day, and he was glad. Now, in chapter 16, of course, we had another defection. And I call that the problem of faith. As that dear man found himself faced with the barrenness of his wife and the impatience of his heart, strange that it should be, and he resorted to that fleshly innovation that only added to his problem, and under the governmental hand of God is right to this day, the problem of faith. But in chapter 17, we saw God doing all the speaking except for one verse. And we punctuated the chapter by paying attention to the times that God spoke. The Lord spoke concerning himself and said, I am God Almighty. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And then God spoke reassuringly. And remember, we saw that he ratified the covenant and gave reaffirmation of the Son of Promise. And I'm going to call chapter 17 the process of faith that brought Abram to have his name changed to Abraham and introduced him to the sign and the seal of the covenant, which was circumcision, which Abraham in faith and in devotion to God implemented without delay, bringing the pain of the knife upon himself and upon the youngest of his family, Ishmael, that was 13 years of age, and every man in between. We saw the embraceiveness of the ministry last night. It has got no age gap. There is no generation gap with God. And whether old or young, the ministry is applicable and suitable for all, the process of faith. Now, what is before us are seven chapters. And in the time, I'm going to try and give you a synoptic view of the seven chapters. So I'm going to call chapter 18 the progress of faith, where we have one of the sweetest portions, I feel, of Abraham's experience. He is receiving in this chapter, verses 1 to 8, a visitation by the Lord. And then from verse 9 to verse 15, he is receiving a communication from the Lord. From the Lord. That is, the Lord has come to visit him. Not just to pass the time. Not just to merely partake of his goods, but to open his heart to him yet again. And I trust you're treasuring these moments that must have been treasured in the heart of Abraham as God consistently and constantly unfolded his mind and his will to the heart of Abraham. We did notice with regret that there were 13 years recorded in chapter 16 and 17, with which we look upon with great grief, because there was no recorded communication from God. Now, from verse 16 to the end of the chapter, we listen to Abraham in intercession before the Lord. Intercession before the Lord. That is, Abraham spreads out the great heart exercise that he has for Sodom and those that therein were found. Now let us think just for a moment of the first part. There'll just be time to get a few practical points that I think will help us tremendously in chapter 18. I think we could put in the first thing in your mind tonight, Abraham's habit. It is becoming a habit now, and I think we have enjoyed to note them, that the Lord appeared unto him. Is it lovely to see how many times up to now Abraham has been conscious that the Lord has taken the initiative and made himself real and made himself known to Abraham down the way. And it's really his habit. It is becoming a frequent experience in the life of Abraham to have these appearances from God. Now, we pause a moment, and again we ask ourselves, do we have anything comparable to that in our own spiritual experience? Do we give time to God to visit us? Do we give opportunity to God to make himself known to us? Are we so busy as to cheat ourselves out of this precious and prime experience of finding fellowship with God? It was Abram's habit. Notice it was in the heat of the day. Did the Lord come to visit him? When most people would be taking an afternoon siesta. Abraham is alert. Abraham is awake. Abraham is very, very clearly ready to appropriate the opportunity that God is about to give him. God hasn't awakened him like Jonah asleep in the body of the ship. And you know, sleep is very good. Sleep is very essential. But there are many people in the Bible slept at the wrong time. And I don't want to be digressing again, but I'm sure you will be able to pick them up and see the danger of sleeping at the wrong time. There's one good thing about it. This man was marked by spiritual alertness. And then I want you to see something that happened. He lifted up his eyes and looked. And as he looked, he saw three men come and stand by him. And when he saw them, he ran and bowed himself to the earth. You know, he was quick to recognize that this was something very, very distinct. And I'm quite sure he also noticed that it was something that was essentially divine, for I want you to notice he ran to meet them. Notice his haste. His haste. He ran to meet them. I think this is wonderful. In fact, if you just look at the passage, and you'll find in verse 6, he hastened. In verse 6 he says, make ready quickly. Verse 7, and Abraham ran, and he gave it to the young man, and he hasted to dress it. Isn't it wonderful to see the haste of this man? First of all, to bow in adoration, for he bowed himself to the ground. He recognized the presence of Jehovah. He recognized the presence of his God. And how different to Adam, who is hiding, not at the heat of the day, but in the cool of the day, in the book of Genesis, which we're in tonight. And you're saying of God, where are we when the Lord comes to our hearts? Is he standing outside and knocking and saying, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me? Is it like the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon? The bride says, I heard their voice. He put his hand through the hole of the door. My bowels were moved, but she wasn't ready. She was asleep. She's not marked by the haste that marked Abraham, nor the agility that should have marked her. And she was so slow that my beloved had withdrawn himself. My dear brethren, I wonder where we really are tonight when it comes to fellowship with God. Is it possible the Lord is coming and has come and finds his soul busily occupied with the things of time and sense? that were oblivious that the Lord is seeking to have fellowship and the blessing of this consolation with us. You know what the Lord Jesus said? If any man will do my will, if any man will do just exactly what I have said, my Father and I will come and make our abode in him. My dear saint of God, how much do we know of this? And here is Abraham, marked by a habit, frequent now, marked by haste. He ran to meet him, and now marked by homage. He bowed himself to the earth. He acknowledged his unworthiness. He invited Jehovah to pause a while and to set themselves down under the tree and wash their feet and rest themselves. Oh, what a ministry. Remember the Lord Jesus had to say to a man, I came and you gave me no water. I came and you gave me no kiss. And you know, I'm saying it reverently tonight. I wonder just how lonely the Lord can be as far as his people are concerned. Isn't it possible that the Lord could come and we have no provision? We have no vision. And we sing to the unsaved on that rightly, but it's time we got it translated to suit the believer. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. And then I want you to notice his hospitality. His hospitality. My, isn't it wonderful to see the resources of his heart and the resources of his hand and the resources of his home and the resources of his herd are all placed before the Lord. He's got the wife going. And he's got the servant going. And he's got himself going. And the whole thing is contrived under his agency. What to do? To feed the heart of God. First time in your Bible you see Jehovah eating. Mark that now. First time you see Jehovah sitting at a table. First time that anyone ever has had the privilege of setting before God food that he can eat. Tremendous, isn't it? And you know what that opens to us. Here's a man feasting the heart of God with a calf, tender and good. You know, if you were to look at this, I know I haven't time. 2 clocks in the places of business, you know. You just look at those lovely words, tender and good. And if this were a reading or in a private home, I would ask some of the brethren around me here, could you add to that? Meek and lowly. Pure and holy. Just and true. Merciful and gracious. You know, friend, you go right through the book. And just those little words come together as they are here. And they all describe the richness and the wealth of the blessed person of God's beloved Son. And here is Abraham filled now with spiritual attention and intelligence to set before God something he can feed on. A calf, tender and good. You know, beloved, I believe that that's what the assembly's for. And I believe that we can give hospitality to God in the worship. Homage to God in the worship. By spreading out our thanksgiving to Him for His Son. God calls that my bread, my food, my sacrifice. Numbers 28, 29. And if you look at those two chapters, you'll see there's something for God daily. And there's something for God weekly. And there's something for God monthly. And there's something for God annually. My, what a chapter, what chapters they are there. Numbers 28. And God sums it all up. And He calls it my bread. My meat. All the privilege of setting out before God the fullness, the richness of His blessed Son to feed the heart of God. Well, I think it's wonderful to see that there's still what He did. He said, every child at the age of two, every son at the age of two has to be put into the Nile. That'd bring an end to sonship. It'll stop growing once he gets in there. And you know, fellow saints, as well as I know too, and we're in it tonight, that the devil knows as soon as he can get you and me into the world, the feature of sonship is gone. No growth. You remember the faith of two people? Well, we'll put our son in the Nile, but we'll make sure none of the Nile will get into him. Hey, have you got that resolution for your own soul tonight? You have to live in the world in Newton Breda. You have to go to business. You have to walk down the street. You have to do exactly what others do, but is that world in you? That's what Pharaoh was after. Pharaoh wanted to stay their growth. But it says the child grew and was weaned. What does that mean? He was taken away from natural resources. He was no longer dependent upon another. That life was now being sustained by a power that was generating within. Oh, beloved, I trust we know something of the weaning away from natural resources. To be able to assimilate the Word of God for ourselves. And to receive the food of God in such a way as to develop in the feature of sonship. But then, I want you to notice the feud of sonship. There was a collision. Now we're coming to the treacherous point. Abraham was so glad to see his son maturing. No longer on the breast, weaned from the breast. He made a feast. Heart rejoiced. Everything was going fine. Until Mrs. Abraham, Sarah, said, now listen. What I saw? I saw the son of the bond woman mocking Isaac. Doing despite to him. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to cast her out. And the son. Oh, no, no, says Abraham. No, no. I listened to you before, lady. And you got me into trouble. I'm not going to listen tonight. Now the wives are all listening, aren't they? The suggestion of Sarai in chapter 16 was wrong. Abram accepted it without reservation. The suggestion of Sarah in chapter 21 was right, and Abraham is reluctant. He loved Ishmael. I want to ask you, young Christian, have you ever gone from a meeting such as this and got down into the presence of God and said, Lord, I want a change in my life. I want from this moment on to be holy for Thee. More activity in the gospel, more reading of the scriptures, more prayer in the secret, more holiness in my life. And you pour out your heart to God. And what's happening? You're cultivating the spirit, the feature, the function of sonship. And you're scarcely 5 minutes off your legs or knees, wherever you are, and there's something inside says, well, now listen, I wouldn't just go at it too hard tonight. Just wait until tomorrow. What's that? That's Ishmael mocking. That's right. Friend, if he gets his way, you'll not get any further down the road for God. Because you and I have an Ishmael in every one of us. Oh, so someone, how did you ever get that? I got the analogy, didn't you, as Paul calls it, or an allegory. But he looks at this passage, and he brings you and me, and you have it in your Bible, and so have I, in Galatians 4. And he uses Sarah's word, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Why? It's a conflict of flesh and spirit. My dear brethren, that feud's on tonight. And remember, within you, within your bosom tonight, is an element that could mar your sonship forever. What have you to do? Cast it out. Now, maybe you think I'm hard. I don't want you to think that. And I'm going to put my message right on the line. You might say, well, that was an unkind thing to say, what I'm going to say. But if you follow my reasoning, at least my line of ministry, I want to touch the point thoroughly. Abraham reluctantly responded to the advice, for God said, she is right. Obey your wife, for in doing so you obey me. All right, says Abraham. I'll put out the bondwoman and her son, but I'll give a supply that will keep them living for a long time. Now, I'm not saying that it was wrong for this man to give her what he gave her, but I want you to get the spiritual thing that I see in Abraham here, reluctantly yielding and longing to keep him, and saying to himself, well, I don't want to see anything happening to it, and I just want to sustain the memory I have of this man I love. And he gives her a bottle. And you know, beloved, that's me. Oh, how loath we are to part with what we love. How loath we are to separate from the thing that could just bring us down spiritually and in this truth of sonship. And even though we have to cut, we still have an idea that, you know, while we keep it going at a distance anyhow, as long as possible. Now, chapter 22. After these things, God did prove Abraham. Obviously, brethren, chapter 22 is the perfection of faith. Isn't it? The perfection of faith. And so it is as we come to this great passage. Now, I haven't time to deal with the chapter. I have to apologize for that. But I want to get the spiritual and the scriptural parallel firmly in your mind for spiritual understanding. There are four great stages now, four points I want to retrace and bring to a consummation in this passage. When Abraham left Haran at the death of his father, I'm quite sure you thought that Romans 6 is applicable. Know ye not that our old man is crucified with him. And as soon as the old man died, we put it that way, then this man made progress in the path of the will of God. And really, brethren, until Romans 6 is truly learned, we're not going to make much progress if we don't get to know and treat and account as such that our old man is crucified, never to be raised again. Whenever Abraham separated from Lot, when Lot looked and saw what he saw, and Abraham went another way, I think you will understand when I quote from Galatians 5:24, that they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof. I want you to see that as pinnacle. The old man crucified, and we have crucified the flesh. When Abram stood face to face with the king of Sodom and said no to that man, I'm bringing in now Galatians 6 and verse number 14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Notice the word crucified in all my passages. Now, this man is called upon now not to give his herd, not to give out of his home, not to give and to put something on the table for God. That was chapter 18. But now he's asked to put something on the altar for God. In chapter 18, he gave what he had. But in chapter 22, my dear brethren, get it to your soul tonight, he's giving himself. For to put his son on the altar was, as it were, to put all that he knew himself to be, all his hopes, all his joy, all his aspiration, all his longing, everything is in Isaac. Take him, I've nothing left. And you know, beloved, when I see that man in that act of devotion, I listen to the words of Paul again, and I trust it's meaningful to you tonight. I have been crucified with Christ. I, all that I am, Lord, all that I am, more than all that I have, all that I am, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I could speak on the severity of the demand, but I want you to see the serenity of his devotion. Up early, saddled the ass. Third day he saw it afar off. Confidently he said, we will come again while the lad and I go yonder and worship. Everything in true conformity to the mind and will of God. And then I want you to see the simplicity of his deed. He just did exactly what God required, and he bowed to the will of God. My dear brethren, it's not easy to do that. I'm saying that thoughtfully. I know you'll say the spiritual man would find it easy. Well, I'm assuming that we are spiritual. and therefore I do trust you, find it easy to bow to the will of God. But if I take normal language, when God puts his hand on our loved ones, when God puts his hand on ourselves, when God begins to take from us things that are exceedingly precious and essential to us, it's a tremendous thing just to bow supremely to the will of God and stand back in devotion as did Abraham. The perfection of faith. And you know, we could go on because it is so precious. The first time in our Bible that God addresses a man by using his name twice. I hope you have a list of them. They're so beautiful. Abraham, Abraham. Moses, Moses. Jacob, Jacob. Saul, Saul. Simon, Simon. Martha, Martha. Oh, I do trust you've got these because they're all very precious as God introduces himself to his people. Now, just a few minutes. Chapter 23. I'm going to call that the purchase of faith. For the vessel that he loved, the woman he cherished, dies. The only part of the land that he's now going to possess, he's going to pay a price. What did he do? Why do I call it the purchase of faith? Because he purchased Machpelah. To bury his dead. Well, that may not mean much to the young tonight. But Machpelah means the place of two openings or two ways. And I believe that Abram was in the good of the God of resurrection. For he believed, in fact he strengthened it with receiving Isaac in a figure from the dead. And I believe that Abraham recognized, even though he put the brandishing knife into the heart of Isaac, God was able to raise him from the dead. For he was in touch with God's resurrection world. And so he bought Machpelah. There was a way in. That was death. But he knew there was a way out. And that's resurrection. This is what he purchased. By faith. Finally, chapter 24. The precautions of faith. I want you, says this man, Abram, it's my will, it's my word, and obviously it was his wisdom. He took a precaution against an unequal yoke. My, what a ministry. Don't take a daughter of the Canaanites for my wife, for my son. Swear to me, he said. And he sent Eliezer on that mission, to secure a bride from the house in Haran. That brings us to where we began the first night. Obviously, he had left a testimony to the God of glory in Haran. And there was some measure of the knowledge of God in that place still. And it was to that place he sent the servant. And it was there he found a Rebecca. And so he was a wise servant. I want you to take the precautions he took against an unfruitful journey. Lovely to read this and to notice his prayerful dependence upon God. To notice pressing demand upon God. We've learned that already. And then to see his precious display of God. He was a faithful servant. And then he took precautions against an unintelligent lover. What's the point of bringing this woman all the distance? And as he trod, he had communication. And I see her learning about Isaac. Then the man made his claim. And I see her longing for Isaac. And then I see the consummation. I see her looking upon it. Who is this that comes to meet us? You know, beloved, we value the ministry of this servant. For not only was he wise, not only was he faithful, thank God he was a good servant. Now that's all we have time for. The Lord bless you and thank you for this thing. Shall we pray? Our God, we bow before thee and thank thee for these great chapters of thy word that are so full, and we trust fresh to our hearts. We bless thee for the material that we have touched and the vast amount more untouched. But we just pray that our little baskets may indeed be full, that as we have looked at this man and thy ways with him, we will have learned something of thy ways with us. And grant, Lord, we just know what it is to trust thee, even though thou dost test us, that we'll bow to thy will. We have been singing about this. The Lord, give us grace to accept the will of God in our lives and to rejoice in his mercy when he puts his hand upon us. Comfort our hearts. Take us to our homes in the good of thy truth. Be with us until the morrow, in thy name and for thy sake, in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Now just a closing verse of hymn number 192. Verse 4. Who is this who comes to meet me on the desert way, as the morning star foretelling God's unclouded day? Just one verse, verse number 4, and we thank you for coming, and we thank you for your attention. Shall we stand and sing?